a very difficult question to answer, because what are gains, diplomatic gains, and how do you measure them? And I don't think there is any particular thing about the West, because we need to agree on who is the West in the first place. You can talk about particular countries, you can talk about groups, but again, it's a very important moment, and we're witnessing global turmoil, change here and there, regional and sub-regional change, which I believe is what we take stock of when we talk about diplomacy. It's not a one-dimensional thing. It's multidimensional and takes stock of circumstances. So I believe not only for Eritrea, but for everybody else, it's a good time for diplomacy. Where are we and where are we going? And how can we possibly establish constructive relationships for the future?
Eritrea is seen by some in the West as a, they call it a pariah state, that your government has been too combative and isolationist in its foreign policy. Do you expect your appearance and speech at the General Assembly will change such an image?
I think it's an image in the mind of those who say it. So you have to go and ask them whether this image is correct or not, where they got this image from, and why they got this image. And finally, for me, this is perceptive. This is imagined perception in the minds of those who think Eritrea in a manner. They look at Eritrea with a prism, with their own prism, which distorts everything. So you have to blame them for telling you this story. So you need to go back to these guys and ask them.
Well, let me ask you, Mr. President. The UN has placed sanctions on Asmara for supporting Al-Shabaab in Somalia, for what it says, contributing to the destabilization of the region. Why do you say the sanctions are unjustified?
It's not the UN sanctions in the first place. There is no UN sanctions. And I was talking to people the other day here, Somalis, and they were telling me these accusations are all lies. If the ones who are stakeholders in the matter deny all these accusations, definitely it has to be something fabricated, and I don't think it deserves any comment from me.
Talking about Somalia, what role will you play to help stabilize Somalia?
We cannot say we have a role to play. We wish that those who are destabilizing Somalia, who are fragmenting Somalia, creating this havoc in Somalia, will have to stop. And people are saying enough is enough. It's not Eritrea or any other party trying to do something or help Somalia. Somalis can help themselves if all those spoilers who are making life so difficult for Somalis pull their hands out.
In years past, your country has had some conflict with countries in the region. Regarding your immediate neighbor, Ethiopia, what are the preconditions you consider to restore and normalize diplomatic relations with Addis Ababa?
We don't have any preconditions.
So would you want to normalize relations with Addis Ababa?
Why would we want to normalize relations when the other side should be asked the same question? It's not our problem. We have you're talking about the border issue. This border issue is a closed file for us. It's finished. It ended up into arbitration, and arbitration was done a long time ago. So we don't see any excuse or any reason for us to even think about normalizing or not normalizing with Ethiopia.
Well, Mr. President, why is there so much hostility between your two countries, given that at one point you and those in power in Ethiopia were very strong allies and comrade in arms?
We have nothing against the people of Ethiopia, but again, this is a question that needs to be addressed within this sticky issue of border conflict between Eritrea and Ethiopia. As I indicated earlier, this is a resolved matter. I don't see any reason for any conflict outside this contentious issue.
Talking about the sub-regional group, the East Africa Community, why would you want to rejoin the group after pulling out some years ago?
No, we did not pull out. We suspended our membership because in 2006, an unwarranted invasion of Mogadishu by the government in Addis was the cause of all this problem. In spite of the sub-regional arrangements and the respect of rule of law, no one country has a license to go and invade another country. And for that matter, we made our point by suspending our membership. Now we feel it's high time because South Sudan has come and joined in. The situation in the region is dramatically changing, and we need to go back to the roots and say this organization was meant for economic integration amongst the countries, not for one member country to go and invade another country.
There are people who question the manner in which your government has been handling the reported food shortages. Do you in fact deny food shortages exist in Eritrea?
Not at all. We can provide food for Somalis if they want to.
Is your government willing to cooperate with international relief agencies to provide aid to people that perhaps are in need?
I told you we don't need any relief item. We're willing to provide the international community with a modest amount of food to be delivered in Somalia.
So what is your secret for Eritrea to have food security?
I don't want to talk propaganda. Come and see with your own eyes. Don't believe me.
I would want to come.
Come and see with your own eyes, and then you can ask me the same question again.
I would love to come to Asmara.
Come. See, you like the town, you like the country, you like the people. So you have to come and see with your own eyes. Don't bring these questions that feed you into your mouth, put it into your mouth. Don't get these questions anymore. You have to be an independent man. You have to. You may be working for an agency. They may give you a number of answers, a short list, a long list of questions to ask. Don't do that again. Yeah. Come with your own independent questions.
On the domestic front, you've been in power for quite some time now, and some people say there hasn't been any elections. Some Eritreans I spoke to, especially in D.C., they said, I should ask when he thinks that Eritreans will have an opportunity to vote in a democracy to choose their local governments.
They have to come and ask me direct. They don't have to relay their questions through you.
Well, do you believe in term limits at all, Mr. President?
Well, it depends on the service you provide. If you steal money from the people, if you abuse your authority, if you are a thug, then you need to go.
Mr. President, many groups have raised issues of press freedom in your country. Can we say that the Eritrean press is free?
There is no press more free than in Eritrea. It's not technology, it's not propaganda, but the people know everything. They need to know everything. They are informed. They make up their mind based on the correct information they get. And that access to any kind of information is open.
Now, I was listening to the radio the other time, and there was this journalist in Canada who was interviewed, and he said 10 of some of his colleagues were arrested, and they've been in jail, and nobody knows where they are, nobody hears about them.
No, there is a rule of law. If you are an agent of a spy group outside, then you shouldn't come to Eritrea.
It's been reported that there are a number of opposition figures who claim that your government doesn't like dissent, doesn't like people to say things on their mind.
There are no opposition groups. You just ask them who pays you, how much money do you have, in what account, then you know.
So tell me, Mr. President, you delivered a speech at the UN that people said was quite interesting because of the changes going on in the Middle East. You said governments that are becoming complacent should watch out because those same changes can come to them. Why that?
That's the rule of thumb. You steal money from the people, you rob votes, you misgovern. Ultimately, people can tolerate this for some time. They cannot tolerate it for a long time. And it's not one or two incidents here or there in the Middle East or outside the Middle East. This is the history of communities. Human beings are human beings. They need to be treated like human beings. You cannot marginalize people. You cannot drop their resources, their endowments. You cannot mismanage the lives of human beings in any one country. You may do it for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, maybe more, but it can't be done indefinitely.
So, Mr. President, let me ask you this. What drives President Isaias Afewerki? What drives you?
What drove me all the way here? Why did I fight for freedom? Why did I sacrifice my life? Why do I do things? There are values. There are commitments I have made. There are commitments the Eritrean people have made. We live to that commitment. That drives everybody else in the country. There is no special force that drives me. We fought as a people for our freedom and independence and dignity. We continue to fight for that and build a nation.
So what will you tell people who have never been to Eritrea? They think Eritrea has been too combative and sometimes quite dismissive of things international and, you know, trying to be confrontational with the rest of the world.
Not at all. Not at all. You don't get confrontational or combative. You don't have any reason to do that unless circumstances impose upon you certain things that you cannot accept and humanity cannot accept. You don't actively or proactively do certain things. That's not. This is a distorted perception in the minds of so many. So why can't you come and see the reality with your own eyes? You can make informed judgment. Informed judgment is the best judgment. You cannot base your judgment on hearsay. You cannot base your judgment on disinformation. You cannot make judgment without seeing something with your own eyes. You can't see things with the eyes of someone else. You have your head. You have your brain. You use your brain. No one can come and manipulate what you think and how you think and how we make judgment. So for that matter, you have to make informed judgments. And you want to know Eritrea, come and see Eritrea.
Well, last time you went to your East African neighbor, Uganda, you met with President Yoweri Museveni. What role do you think Eritrea can play in stabilizing the entire Horn of Africa or East Africa community?
No one country can claim and no one leader can claim he can play this role or that role. It's only pretension. It's a collective endeavor. We have a collective destiny. We have collective interests. We have collective values. We need to work together. You have to be open to listen to others. You have to be willing to work with others. If you have this opinionated idea, if you are complacent about what you can do, what you can offer, and how you can play this and that role, then that is the beginning of the end and the beginning of a huge mistake. So it's a collective endeavor. Anyone in the region, and we're convinced, we're persuaded, not now, but decades ago, we have to work together. We have to bring our minds, we have to bring our resources, we have to share our views and come up with a commonality of objectives. And finally, we can mobilize whatever resources we have to achieve our goals collectively.
So talking about collectively, how will you join forces with others in the region to ensure that East Africa become, you know, the breadbasket of the entire region?
People need to get out from this obsession of Shabab. Exaggerating Shabab, expanding Shabab beyond proportions for some other agenda. Please look somewhere else. Somalia is not Shabab. Somalia is Somalia. Somalia in reality is fragmented. Somalia is Somaliland, Somalia is Puntland, Somalia is Benaderland, Somalia is Jubaland. Somalia is divided. This is a reality. Can we deny this fact? And we focus on Shabab and make Shabab everything in Somalia. Now look, people will have to correct their views and remove this prism that is distorting everything. I know for what purpose people exaggerate the role of Shabab, the destabilization that is coming because of Shabab. These are distortions of facts on the ground. And we're saying let's talk serious. Let's talk about Somalia, not about Shabab.
So what about Somalia that you would want people in the East Africa region to talk about?
Now, above everything else, this is the responsibility of the Somalis. No one can be a substitute for Somalis. Anyone wanting to fight terrorism, anyone wanting to fight piracy, anyone wishing well for the Somalis, will have to allow the Somalis to have a viable government, viable institutions of government. They can take care of all these problems we're talking about now. So we can only avail ourselves to help Somalis solve their problem. We cannot be a substitute. We cannot impose a solution on Somalis. And we can only do that by recognizing the reality on the ground.
Will you engage them, the Somali people themselves, also, as well as the leaders now, to share these ideas that you have? And to see where that goes, because you are neighbors.
Why are people scared of ideas? You have ideas, come with your ideas and put them on the table. Anyone else who has ideas should come and put them on the table. And then you can, out of all these ideas, arrive at a commonality of understanding. You have to read the reality correctly. And to read the reality correctly, you may see it from a different perspective. Someone else may see it from another perspective. You have to sit and talk about these ideas on how you read the situation there. And then you diagnose the symptoms you see, the way you read things, and try to find a collective solution for this problem. An imposition of solutions and substitutions will not solve the problem.
Well, Mr. President, you initially spoke about people having a warped prism that they look at Eritrea. Why do you think people have a wrong perception of Eritrea? Because you have lots of countries in Africa.
I want to give you a homework. Okay. Go and read all the WikiLeaks release about Eritrea in the eyes of those who have this distorted prism.
What would be your message to, one, the West, two, the African Union, and Africans as well as Eritreans themselves?
I don't talk about the West, because
let's talk about Africa.
Let's work collectively to have a viable continental organization that will create an environment for integration, that will create an environment that would be effective in bringing about results of the dreams of the founding fathers of this continent.
Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Most welcome.